How can I be sure that God hears me when I pray?
If I've made a big mistake, should I stay away from church?
Those are some of the great questions, as usual, from our viewers, and I'm ready for some great answers from the Bible. I'm Kenya Reyes.
And I'm Andre Hastic, and Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Andre, it feels so good to be back to tackle some of these very deep questions that our viewers have sent in this week.
Absolutely, Kenya. But before we dive in, a quick reminder that if you have a question that you'd like answered on this program, you can still call us at 833 Bible HD with your questions and leave us a voicemail. You can also text us or reach us on social media with Facebook and Instagram or on our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. If possible, please leave us an email so we can contact you back.
Now, moving on to our first guest today is Pastor Andrea Jacobsons, and she's joining us from her new home now in Ohio, where she is currently the senior pastor of the Kettering Adventist Church. Welcome, Pastor Jacobson. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
And joining her today, we have Dr. Michael Yonker, who is a research specialist and has a PhD in theology and philosophy, and of course, no stranger here at Bible Help Desk. Always appreciate his insights. Welcome back, Dr. Yonker.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, right before we get into these very, very deep questions that we've received from our viewers, I would love to share a text with you from the Word of God, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. And it says, "This is what the Lord says: Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this: that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." I think that this is such an excellent verse just to start us off as we dive into the Word of God, as we look for answers to our questions. May we only boast in getting to know God more and more, because that is what He wants from us, and He is more than ready to let Himself be known to us. So let us start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you because we can come to you and get to know you more and more each and every day. And in this moment, as we dive into your word, Lord, all we want is for you to reveal yourself to us so that we can get to know you and we can boast in knowing you, oh God. Please bless everyone who is watching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that word of encouragement, Kenya. And today we can go ahead and dive in. As you said, I want to share our first question that we received via text. It starts off pretty straightforward. "Hi, I have a question for Bible Help Desk." Well, you're in the right place, my friend. And here's the question: how do I know if I am saved? Dr. Yonker, how do I know if I'm saved? That's the question coming to us via text. Something tells me this is not the only person in all of our viewership that has this question. So please
Absolutely.
lead and guide us from the Word of God here today. Thank
Absolutely.
you.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful question. I don't think there's any more straightforward question that we can ask is, are we saved and how do we become saved? And so when we're looking to answer that question, here's the good news. If you're asking, "How do I know if I'm saved?" that means you probably want to be saved. And the good news is, if you want to be saved, the Bible has a great message for you. And that is, in fact, let's turn to the Bible right now. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 24. And there it reads, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life," says Jesus. "He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you're asking whether or not you're saved, that means you're wondering if God loves you. And the answer is yes, he does. We know also from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. Now, that means if you are asking that question, that means you probably want to be saved. And if you want to be saved, Jesus wants you to join with him. And of course, we know that Jesus also knows that many of us come from lives of complex backgrounds. We may have struggled with sins in our lives. But the good news is, as we're also told in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, and Peter said to them, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. So I think probably the best way to answer that question is if you're asking it, that means you want to be saved, and that means Jesus wants to save you. And so he is waiting there for you to study and learn more about him and learn about his grace and mercy and to draw you into a relationship with him. So I think that's the good news that we can take from that excellent question.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing up a promise from the Word of God. And what's so beautiful about Bible promises is that they are exactly that. And as the Bible says, every promise has a yes and amen in Christ, right? So if we see it in the Word of God, we can claim it for ourselves. So it's been promised that we can have salvation if we just trust in Jesus with our whole life. And thank you so much, Dr. Yonker. I think that brings a lot of assurance for those who may have doubts in that area, especially the person who shared this question with us. Well, Pastor Jacobson, wondering if there's any additional scriptures that come to mind for you or any additional insight you want to share to this question.
Yes, I really like that answer. I just want to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'll begin with verse 11, which is very similar to what Michael has just said. And it says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So again, it's about this belief in Jesus, and that is why we have eternal life. So it's not about our feelings or even just thinking that we somehow have to feel it, that we're saved, but that we know it because that's what the Bible says. It says that if we believe in him, we are saved. And now, clearly, there is also something about the word believe, right, in Jesus, because it's not just, okay, if I believe that God exists. Well, Satan, the enemy of God, also believes that God exists. He knows that God exists. So it's not just me, by head knowledge, knowing that God exists. It's about the fact that I surrender to God, that I give my life to him, that he is in me, that I have life in the Son because I abide in him and he abides in me, just like Jesus says in other places. And so it's all about that surrender, that giving my life to him. It's about the direction I'm walking in. If I am facing God, facing Jesus in the way that I live, then I don't have to worry. I may fall and God will have to pick me up again and, you know, set me on the right path. But overall, I can know that if I'm going in the right direction, I'm just facing Jesus, I want to live with him and for him, then I have nothing to fear. Because this is what it says, that we have eternal life because we believe in him.
Amen. That is so beautiful. And I really appreciate you bringing up that sometimes you don't always feel a certain way, but it doesn't mean that the reality isn't there. So it's really not based on how we feel, but based on what he has done and our trust in him. So thank you so much for that clarification and encouragement here today. Kenya, do we have another question today?
Yes, we do. And today we're getting some questions that I think are good for everyone, are questions that we've asked each other at one point or another. And this one comes in via text and it reads, hello, I'm a 13-year-old female, and I haven't seen my mom for a year. I've been struggling, and I wanted to know if I can contact God and talk to him, like to pray and make sure he is listening and make him see what I need help with. God bless y'all. Thanks. And she put a little heart at the end. Well, thank you so much for your question and that text, Pastor Jacobson's. You know, I think all of us have gone through moments, through seasons of our life where we feel like, is God listening to me? Can he show me that he's listening? And she is just 13 years old. Is there any words of encouragement or any knowledge that you can provide from the Word of God?
Yes. I just want to say, first of all, Jesus loves you. And so because he loves you, and he loves you tons and tons and tons, and because he loves you that much, you can tell him anything and he always hears. I love, I'm going to go to a couple passages. One is in Hebrews 13 in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, where God says, it says that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So then in verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. And I love those verses, because anytime I feel alone, and I'm guessing that that happens to you, because like you said, you haven't come in a while. So when you feel alone, and when I feel alone, this is what I go to, and that he will never leave me nor forsake me. And then the other passage that I go to all the time is in Mark chapter 10. And it's the story of the blind man, Bartimaeus, who is healed by Jesus. So the story kind of, it's the end of Mark 10, all the way at the end of the of that chapter. And Jesus, or the man, is crying out to Jesus. And he keeps just saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people keep telling him to be quiet, because they're saying, Jesus doesn't have time for you. And so then the man keeps crying out even more, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as he's doing this, then finally it says in verse 9 that Jesus stops and he commands him to be called. They call him. He runs up to Jesus. He's so excited. And then Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man says, Rabboni, or my teacher, that I may receive sight. He says, I want to see. And at that moment, Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And I love the story of the fact that, yes, Jesus is there for this man. He heals him. But my favorite part is the fact that it says in verse 49, so Jesus stood still. Jesus just ups. He knows that this man is calling him, and he cares about everything that this man wants, that he needs. And so he will stop and just wait for this man to come and tell him what he needs. And that's, every time I think about this, I, you know, I think it's so beautiful, because I know that Jesus does that for me. Every time I cry out to him, he will stop and listen to what it is that I have to say. And so I just want to say that to you too, that whenever you cry out to God, he stops and he hears every word that you have to say.
Amen. That was so, so encouraging to everyone who hears that, just to know that the Lord stops to listen to us. Thank you so much, Pastor Jacobson. Dr. Yonker, is there anything that you would like to add?
I think Pastor Jacobson's done a great job sharing that. You know, the Bible has many promises. You'll find in the Psalms, for example, sometimes David and others felt like they had been cut off from God and didn't know if he was listening. But we know from Psalms 31, verse 22, is one such example where it reads, in my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried to you for help. And so we know from these scriptural passages that God is always available and listening to us and ready to hear our prayers.
Amen. Beautiful. We hope that that helps our viewer in these moments of need. Thank you so much for your answers.
Well, we have another question, Kenya, that came in via Facebook. And Ricardo asks, what is your understanding of there is none that doeth good, no, not one, found in Romans chapter 3, verse 12? Dr. Yonker, any thoughts on this particular scripture and any insight you can give to our viewers here today?
Sure. That's a great question that we hear there, and referring to Romans chapter 3. And as sometimes may be the case, the best way to try and understand what's being said there is to read a little bit further, to gather more of the context from Romans chapter 3. And to do that, I'm going to jump ahead to Romans 3, verses 23 and onward there. And there Paul continues explaining more, for he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation for his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And then he continues, and this is the key, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. What Paul has said here is that we all come from sinful backgrounds. All of us are sinners and we cannot justify ourselves. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we can be enabled into a process whereby we can, through his Spirit, become into harmony with what he wants for our lives. But at any point, that still we remain completely and wholly dependent on him, and we'll continue to make errors, mistakes. John refers to this, that if any of you makes a mistake or if any of you sins, then return and repent and come back to the Father and to Jesus. And so it's saying that we are fallen beings, and by nature we're not perfect, but through the grace of God we can still be saved and grow into harmony with his purposes.
Hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Pastor Jacobson, is anything you want to add here to this question?
John 15, verse 5, and it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I just want to mention here that, you know, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that we cannot do anything, because we can definitely do plenty of things. We can build a house. We can get married without Jesus. I mean, there are lots of things we can do. But what he is talking about is that there is nothing that we can do, and therefore there's nothing that we can do unless we bear fruit, and we can only bear fruit with him. And so that kind of goes with the whole thing that none of us can do anything good. We cannot do anything good on our own. We, in the sense that we need God for the fruit that lasts for eternity. We can only do that kind of fruit with Jesus. Otherwise, yes, we can do some good things. We can even do, you know, lots of things, but we cannot do things that are really eternal and that will have a life change for anyone. Mm. That we can't. That has to be God doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Eternal good comes from above. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Well, I think we've had some great questions today. And although I feel like we're learning so much, maybe there are so many questions that we still have. And if you feel that way, well, you can get our Hope Bible Study Guides to answer some of those questions. And you can find those at hopebiblestudy.org. It is a newly designed site and is continually being upgraded. So make sure you keep going back to check it out and get those study guides for yourself. And if you live in North America, you can just call us and leave us your address, and we will mail those out straight to you. Now, we will be back right after these messages.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
We want to hear from you. How has Bible Help Desk transform your life? Have you come across this show and had your questions answered and so approach life differently? If so, we want to hear about it. Call us at 1-833-BIBLE-HD or email us at biblehelpdesk@hopetv.org. and share with us the journey you've taken with Bible Help Desk.
Welcome back. You can still text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. And don't forget, you can also hit us up on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or also you can give us a message on hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Our panelists are answering your questions here today, Pastor Andrea Jacobsons, as well as Dr. Michael Yonker. So, Kenya, do we have any other questions we need to address here today?
Definitely. And our next question came in via voicemail, so let's take a listen.
My question has to do with healing. And in the Bible, there's a part that talks about if someone has been sick for, you know, a while, that they should call the elders together and be anointed for healing. My question is, I was under the impression that everyone that attended the anointing should have faith that the anointing will, in fact, heal the person. What I discovered when I was anointed was that the pastor made several comments about how the anointings doesn't always work and you may not be healed, things like that. And I found that to be contrary to what the Bible says about receiving the healing from the anointing.
Now, with that question, Dr. Yonker, that's a pretty hefty question we have there. Mm-hmm. And seems to me that our viewer, you know, did his homework or her homework and went into the Bible and tried to find some answers. So can you help our viewer guide them to find the answer that they're looking for?
Yes, that is a very good and obviously this is a complex and sensitive question because many people will be in different circumstances. And so it's difficult to give a precise answer to a specific situation. In general, of course, we should learn from Scripture that, yes, God can heal. We do believe in the power of prayer and in the power of the faith community to help, you know, request a petition God to heal someone if he sees fit. But at the same time, we do need to keep in mind that there are several things, several principles that may impact whether or not God may answer a specific prayer for healing. First of all, I think it's good to acknowledge right up front that obviously we are all still sinners and we all still live with mortal flesh that has not been transformed. And so all of us will, as they say, age and pass away, die, as is the what is the situation that we all face. And so, you know, for someone who's elderly or something, it may not be in God's will at that time to prolong their life. At the same time, in other cases, for some people, it could be, and this may not be known by the church, whether it applies to a specific situation is unknown to us. But if someone is harboring a hidden or secret sin, Paul does warn that, you know, they may not be in a position to expect a positive answer to their prayer, because it would not be to the glory of God to have someone healed that was actually harboring a hidden sin. But that's not always the case. Sometimes there is no hidden sin. Sometimes there is not age involved. And then we have to just, you know, keep in mind, and I think probably the best verse to read here is simply 1 John 5:14. And it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." It may not be for us to know what brings glory to God. For example, from the Bible, we know that Paul had apparently an ailment with his eyes that God chose not to heal. And he tells him that, you know, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so it's to the glory of God for us not to have that healing. Of course, we know that Lazarus was brought back from the dead and yet still passed away later in life. You know, many other circumstances. Job from the Old Testament is a great story of someone who suffered and had ailments even come to afflict his physical body. And yet for a time it was in the wisdom of God to allow that to continue. So it's a complicated question. It's good to, you know, believe in the community of our church and to appreciate and accept their prayers and to follow Scripture's counsel. But we have to leave this up to God to know exactly what he does intend for us. And if there is some other thing, for example, he may not heal us from a lifetime of drinking alcohol or smoking, we still may pay the price with cancer or something else. But in God's wisdom, we can know that we can have peace no matter what the result of that answer is. And so even if we're not healed, we can know that God still does love us if we still are trusting in him and that all things work together for the good for those who love him. So I think that's probably the best way approach that difficult question.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Yonker, for that answer. And I just want to say before we finish up with this question, you know, we pray that our viewer who sent in this question has a speedy recovery if they're still being afflicted, and to just be reminded that at the end of the day, it really depends on us praying to God with faith and knowing that whatever is the outcome, that it will be for His glory and for His honor and in His will. Thank you so much, Dr. Yonker. Andre, what do we have next?
Yes. Well, we have a question. It's a little sensitive in nature. Here's what the question reads, how it reads. When you have failed miserably in church leadership with a moral leadership failure, is it best to stay away from the family to not be a stumbling block to others? Very real question, Pastor Jacobson's. Can you share some biblical and even perhaps pastoral insight as we try to respond to this question here today?
Yes. And I'm assuming that the person, when they're asking the question, they're saying staying away from the family is in the church family. And no, I don't think that we should ever stay away from the church family. And yes, sometimes there are people who, you know, may act condemningly towards someone who has done something, or just doesn't, they just don't know what to say in a situation like that. So sometimes we, if there is a failure of something that we have done, sometimes people reject others or just don't really know how to approach them to talk to them. And that happens. And sometimes that person can feel very alone because they have done something and now everyone is just backing away. And so the Bible tells us, though, on the other hand, in Luke 15, that every time there is even one sheep that is lost from the fold of God, that God always keeps coming after them. And so this is, I'm just going to mention the one in Luke 15, verse 24, where it says, "My son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." The father is rejoicing over the prodigal son who had lost. And so this is just showing that God always keeps coming after every single one of us, and he wants us to return. And so in that way, we also need to always just keep trusting in the fact that he wants us to be with other people, because that is part of healing, to be there with other believers and the people around us who can just keep us on the right path. So as much as we can, it is good for us to keep spending time with other people.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jacobson's, for that inspirational insight there to that question. Appreciate it.
And we want to thank you both, Pastor Jacobson's and Dr. Yonker, for joining us today and for giving us such insightful answers to our questions.
And you can always call and text and leave us a voicemail. Let us know your questions here. And we appreciate you watching, and we see you all next time. God bless.